The gospel for this, the baptism of our Lord Sunday, is found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. Please stand. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let's sing the first two verses of "Christ, When for Us You Were Baptized," number 304. Be seated. How many of you are familiar with the phrase, "Now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their country"? It's like quite a few. For those of you who are, can you recall when you may have used it or heard it? For me, it was when I was a freshman in high school. In our school, all freshmen took typing. On manual typewriters, I'm aging myself just a little even more here. And for those of you who have never seen a typewriter or taking a typing class, you may not even be familiar with this phrase. So just consider what I'm about to say in the next minute or so a little history lesson. Okay? "Now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of the party," was the phrase instructor Charles E. Weller first proposed as a practice line for training typing skills in 1867. The phrase was changed to "Now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their country" instead, because it exactly fills out a 70-space line if you put a period at the end of it. In either case, the phrase was used to practice keyboarding skills and speed. And in the process of learning to type quickly, the quote was generally committed to memory since it was used so much. Interesting enough, if you Google CCG typing test, the page that opens is a brief test that will measure your typing abilities in words per minute. The phrase you are to type, "Now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their country before the quick brown fox jumps over the lazy little puppy dog." I guess they thought we needed the last part. "The quick brown fox jumps over the lazy little puppy dog," because it is a coherent, short phrase that uses every letter of the alphabet. Wouldn't want to miss testing your typing skills and speeds without using every letter on the keyboard. It may surprise you how often the phrase, "Now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their country," has been used since it was first introduced in typing textbooks. Or even how often the first part of the phrase, "Now is the time to," has been used and the wide variety of situations it is used for. Here are a few examples I found doing a quick Google search. Now is the time to get loud. Now is the time to talk about what we were actually talking about. Now is the time to buy gold. Now is the time to open your heart, a novel by Alice Walker. Now is the time to lead. Now is the time to believe. Now is the time to. Can you think of instances when you have started a sentence with those words? Sometimes we aren't sure if now is time for things. Today's gospel lesson tells us that at the Jordan River, about 30 years after Jesus was born, now was the right time. Jesus had walked about 60 miles from Galilee to the Jordan, where John was baptizing, so he could be baptized. It was time. From the gospel reading, we get the impression that John was unwilling to baptize Jesus. Possibly because John recognized that Jesus did not need what John could give him, a baptism for repentance and forgiveness of sins. But Jesus answered, "Let it be so now." There was a sense of urgency. Being baptized was so important to Jesus that it was not to be delayed. "Now is the time to be baptized," Jesus was saying. He imposed his authority with his demand for immediate baptism. So why did Jesus need to be baptized now? It was not that Jesus needed to get his sins washed away. He was sinless. Jesus said it was to fulfill all righteousness. For Jesus, it meant submitting himself to a life in God and to fulfill a relationship with God by obeying him in every aspect of life, including accepting his baptism. For Jesus, it was the next step in God's plan. He did it because it was what his Father in heaven wanted him to do. The righteousness of God is a good thing. Jesus' life and death assure us that we don't have to earn God's righteousness. God has given it to us. By submitting to John's baptism for repentance and forgiveness of sin, Jesus identified himself with those he came to save. In his baptism, he shows the attitude of God towards us sinners. Jesus shows just how different God is. Instead of condemning the sinners, he jumps into the water with them. For Jesus to offer salvation to sinners, he needed to identify with them. Jesus' baptism was different. He was baptized for a totally different reason than our reasons for baptism. His baptism marked the beginning of his ministry. And right at the beginning of his ministry, Jesus shows what his attitude is going to be. It is one of forgiveness and acceptance. Jesus is not God above us or God better than us. He is God with us. Jesus stands alongside us. He is flesh like our flesh. And through baptism in the cleansing waters, he associates himself totally with each one of us. Jesus came on that day and entered the water. In Matthew's account of the baptism, Jesus enters the water and the heavens open. Then the Spirit of God descends like a dove and alighting on him, and a voice from heaven speaks these words, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." These words from heaven are very similar to the ones we heard in the first reading today from the prophet Isaiah. "Here is my servant who I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him." God's words in today's gospel are given not just for Jesus, but for all who were waiting to be baptized by John at the Jordan that day. Just as Jesus put the stamp of approval on what John was doing through baptism, so now the presence of the Spirit shows the approval of God on what Jesus was doing. Jesus' baptism was different. As soon as Jesus was baptized, the heavens opened, the Spirit of God descended like a dove, and a voice from heaven spoke. We see in this short gospel reading the Trinity. It is the first occasion in the Bible that unites the Trinity in full view and in celebration of God's love. In the form of a dove, we see the Holy Spirit come upon Jesus to fortify him for his ministry. We hear the voice of the Father acknowledging Jesus as his beloved Son and endorsing his ministry. And then there is Jesus. He arrives at the Jordan as a humble candidate for baptism and departs as the heaven-proclaimed Son of God. It was a brief plunge into the river, but in these four brief verses, Matthew proclaims that nothing in human history will ever be the same. The Son of God is among us, and he would bind us to him in the waters of baptism. Jesus' baptism was different. Different than ours, but there are similarities. At his baptism, God claimed Jesus as his Son. The same thing happens at our baptism. God calls us his children and assures us of his love for us. We are children of a God who wants to be our Father. At his baptism, the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus in the form of a dove. At our baptism, we received the Holy Spirit. Martin Luther cited two verses from the Gospels to inform his belief that baptism is commanded by God. The first is Matthew 28, verse 19. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." The second, Mark 16, verse 16. "The one who believes and is baptized will be saved." We as Lutherans believe that a person can receive the Holy Spirit through baptism regardless of age. Christ clearly calls us to the water. Baptism is God's own means of saving grace. The Trinity that was present at the Jordan blesses each baptism, welcoming infants and adults, children and deathbed converts to the family of the faithful, washing them in the love of Christ. A little girl wanted to get baptized, but her mother wanted her to attend some classes to make sure she knew what she was committing herself to. After one of the classes, the mother asked, "Honey, what does baptism mean?" Thinking hard, the little girl then finally said, "Well, it isn't the water that makes you clean," she began. The mother thought, "Yes, she understands." Then, smiling brightly, her daughter quickly added, "It's the soap." Clearly, the little girl didn't completely understand the true meaning of baptism yet. We sometimes have a hard time understanding it as well. What we do know is that God promises that when you believe in Jesus, repent of your sins, and are baptized, he saves you. That's his promise. And just as God honored Jesus by having the Holy Spirit descend upon him at the Jordan, when we were baptized into Christ, we received his Holy Spirit as well. Baptism is a reassurance that, come what may, God will be with us to give us the grace we need to overcome all adversities. In the midst of difficult times, our baptism is a reminder of who we are and what God has done in our lives. When Martin Luther was faced with some of the difficult struggles with which he dealt, he would often cling to the truth that he had been baptized. Remembering what that meant and what God had done gave him the ability to persevere. It can do the same thing in our lives today. Our baptism should remind us that we belong to Jesus and that Jesus belongs to us. And because of it, we should each dive deeper into his love and presence in our lives. Our mission statement for Petersburg Lutheran Church: to know Christ, to grow in Christ, and to show the love of Christ, gives us a plan for doing just that. Each one of us has a reason to exist, a purpose for our lives, and a destiny to fulfill. Jesus, through his baptism that day at the Jordan, lets each one of us know that grace is the issue. Obedience to God is the issue. It doesn't matter if we are worthy or not. We have been saved by grace. Jesus was perfect, and Jesus was loved by God. We are nowhere near perfect, yet we too are loved by God. Jesus was sinless, and God was delighted in him. We are broken and sinful people from the top of our heads to the bottom of our toes, and yet God is delighted in us. Baptism is a significant part of our faith journey. As we come from the baptismal waters to life, a new life as children of God, this transformation from sinfulness to righteousness, which began with our baptism, goes on as long as we live. As we continue to grow in the knowledge of God's grace and love in our lives, our baptism sends us out on a lifelong journey that is characterized by our relationship with God, our relationship to our faith community, our relationships in our community and the wider world. Living out our baptismal covenant means living a life of growth in the faith practices of discipleship. The liturgy of the affirmation of baptism describes the faith practice that grows out of our baptism. We are to live among God's faithful people. We are to hear the words of God and share in the Lord's Supper. We are to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed. Serve all people following the examples of Jesus and strive for justice and peace in all the earth. For Christians, baptism is a public proclamation of faith and intention to live a life that pleases God. When we renew our baptismal vows, we promise to proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ, to resist evil, to love our neighbors as ourselves, to strive for justice and peace, and we ask God to help and guide us. Now is the time to believe. Now is the time to recommit ourselves to our baptismal promise. Baptismal water and the Holy Spirit are the elements through which Jesus shows that he is connected with the Father. The same connection Jesus wants for each one of us. All the events surrounding Jesus' baptism were done so that you and I can confidently state, "Now I know that God accepts me. Now is the time to live out my faith and baptismal promise." Let us pray. As your beloved Son embraced his mission in the waters of baptism, inspire us with the fire of your Spirit to join in his transforming work. We ask this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen. Let us join in the last two verses of hymn number 304. Thank you.